Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather and worship, to open your word. And Holy Spirit, we pray that you would continue to grow faith in our hearts, in our lives. Lord, that through your word, you would teach us what you want us to know, that you would help us to see the hope and the joy that you have for each one of us. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for each and every blessing that you provide us. It's in the precious name of Jesus, our Savior and Lord, we pray. Amen. So we are in Philippians chapter 3, the reading, the epistle reading from the Apostle Paul. And we're in chapter 3 where Paul says something kind of crazy starting off. He says this right here. He says, though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also, if anyone else thinks he has reasons for confidence in the flesh, I have more. And you're like, oh, really, Paul? You have more? Huh? Well, what he's saying is, hey, man, I know all about pride. I know what pride is. And I would say that you and I know what pride is, too. Like, Tennesseans are proud people. I'm not sure you're as proud as Texans, but you're proud. And from what I understand in my research, there is Tennessee history that's taught in our schools. And that helps you kind of give a sense of who you were, who you are, who you hope to be. And Governor Bill Lee once said, we're famous for our three grand divisions of East, Middle, and West Tennessee, represented by the three stars on our flag. But it's important to remember that the blue circle around the three stars on our flag represent the unity of our state. He says, I believe Tennesseans have more that unites us than that divides us. Amen to that. Right? We have pride in who we are as Tennesseans in the volunteer state. And there's even more to be proud of. We've got hot chicken in Tennessee. Whiskey, barbecue, music, both country and Western, including bluegrass, blues, rockabilly, jazz, and rock and roll. You got the rolling hills. We have the Smoky Mountains that happen to be the salamander capital of the world. Did you know that we have moon pies that were created here? Mountain Dew was created in Tennessee, and Coca-Cola was first bottled in Tennessee, in Chattanooga, in 1899. We have all these things to be proud of. And who could forget Rocky Top, especially when you're 2-0? So why am I sharing this? Because Paul's talking about pride. He's talking about, hey, if anybody can be boastful and be proud about who they are, where they've been, it's me. And he understands pride, where it came from. He was a volunteer before being a volunteer was cool. He even says this, if anyone else thinks he's got reason for confidence of the flesh, I've got more. And he lists this whole list of things to be proud of. He says, I'm the man. I've got all these things. It's as if Paul's saying this. Like he's a Tennessean, okay? Like, hey, I'm related to Davy Crockett. I'm blood with Dolly Parton's family. Justin Timberlake is my uncle. Tennessee Ernie Ford is my friend, and I'm a distant relative of Tina Turner. See, if Paul was saying that to you and me, you go, man, that's a Tennessee bloodline right there. You do have something to be proud of. And Paul's saying kind of that. He's saying, hey, I'm circumcised on the eighth day, just as I'm supposed to be. I'm genuine Israel stock of Benjamin's tribe, who was one of the original 12 tribes of Israel. I mean, that's authentic, y'all. He was 100% Hebrew. This is the most pure Hebrew that he could be, and it was even pleasing to the Jews that Paul was around. Yet Paul says this about all these things: I count everything as loss because the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. It's here that Paul reminds me of one of my favorite Texas icons, Stevie Ray Vaughan. He sang a song called Pride and Joy. Maybe you've heard it. When Ava was a little baby, my oldest, who's 8, and there was no other children in the house, and this new baby that I didn't know much about would just start crying in the middle of the night, I tried to figure out what to do to make her stop. So I started singing like Amazing Grace or How Great Thou Art or Jesus Loves Me, and it wouldn't work. No Christian song would put this girl to sleep. So I started singing Stevie Ray Vaughan one day. I love my baby heart and soul. That girl went to sleep. So it worked, right? And what Paul is saying is that Jesus is my pride and joy. And only in Christ is real pride and joy possible. That's really the only place. And Paul even goes further than this. He says it pales in comparison to knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. And notice how Paul says Jesus' name. He says his full name, Christ Jesus my Lord. And then in verses 7 and 8, there's things that are said three times. This word loss is said. And notice what Paul says. He says, whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I've suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. So Paul is saying this. When he says that word rubbish, it's a strong, strong word. He's saying everything is really dung, waste. That's a little stronger than rubbish. He's saying it's all waste compared to knowing Jesus as Lord. Outside of knowing Jesus as Lord, everything else is a stinking pile of mess. Now, this is kind of hard for us because Paul is saying everything else outside of Jesus is rubbish, is waste compared to him. And you and I as followers of Christ would go, yeah. But if you're honest, if you and I are honest, and this should be the place of all places in the world where we could just be honest and real with one another and say, hey, it's okay not to be okay. We don't have it together all the time. I have to admit to you that sometimes not everything is rubbish compared to Jesus. Why? Because of my pride. I'm proud of my family. I'm proud of my friends. I'm proud of my kids and my wife. Or maybe I'm proud of being your associate pastor. I'm proud of maybe some gifts or abilities that I either have or I think I have. And those things sometimes take the place of Christ. Not always intentionally. Sometimes maybe so. And so when we see this, we go, ooh, hey, rubbish, like my family, rubbish compared to Christ. Like, he's just saying, look, Jesus is number one. Everything else is number two. But sometimes we flip that, right? We put our family, our friends, our successes, our victories first on a pedestal. Maybe I put pride in being a native Texan first, or being an East Tennessean or a person who is from Knoxville, whatever and above Jesus, and those people and things become idols. I admit that to you. That's where I'm at in life sometimes. So what is it for you? Are all things other than knowing Jesus as dung, or does your pride and joy in other people or in other things get the best of you? So you know what's better than being identified as a Texan or a Tennessean or anything else? Being identified and cleansed by our Savior King Jesus as his child. Knowing that Jesus has sought after you and that he's found you and that he loves you. That's the best thing. Knowing that he lived, died, and rose for you. That's the most awesome thing. And for some of us, it's hard to wrap our head around the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. Like, how did that happen? It's one of those things that, you know, we can't fully explain on this side of heaven. We have to have faith. And for some of you, some family members or friends go, there's no way. I can't believe in Jesus because I don't believe he rose from the dead. Well, if you ever have anybody in your life that doesn't buy that piece of the gospel message, point them to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 6, where Paul himself says this: there were 500 witnesses to the resurrection of Jesus. And you have to remember that the Bible is not just some book for Christians, but it's also historical. Like, this happened. And if you don't want to take somebody's word from the Bible, you could go to the Josephus, a historian. You can buy his book on Amazon, where you see that he also says, Jesus rose from the dead. It happened. There's witnesses. See, the life, suffering, and death of Jesus, it frees you to experience his love and his grace and to know that nothing else is comparable to the love and grace of Jesus. Now, yes, you may be awesome because you're a Tennessean or married to one. But ultimately, who you are or where you've been doesn't really matter as much as Jesus being your Lord and Savior, the one who sought you and who found you. See, no earthly advantage is worth and even comparable to the love and grace and mercy that Jesus has given you so that you can be his son or his daughter. So go in that hope today. Amen. Please rise.